Okay, so we'll chant a little bit and then we'll have our class. Charanapadma Kevalama Gati Sadma Pananmue Savatana Mate Jahara Prasadipai Kevavatore Yanyahe Krishna Prapti Hoi Chitete Kumiya Hegya Aranako Riyo Maneya Sana Shikuru Charane Rate Ese Utamakate Ye Prasade Pure Sarvaka Aprabhu kodaya deha more parachaya Evyas kushutri vuvana Evyas kushutri vuvana Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Namago Vishanupadaya Krishna Pristaya Pudalai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurupani Pracharane Nivasesha Shukavani Ashachari Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Raponichananda Sri Advaita Radhana Sivasani Gorbhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radhana Sivasani Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Ore Ore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Sadashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Savaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta, Gosami Srila Prabhupada, Kichai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kichai, Anantakoti, Vaishnav, Vrindi Kichai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Kichai, Ramse, Kaho Shri, Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopagopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagijai Gaur Premilanda Hari Hari Om. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pajarni Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, it's good to see everybody, and for tonight's reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, so we're going to go on to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in a second. So if anyone's interested in seeing last night's class was a memory class about my mother, who passed away from this world, hearing the holy names, having a great devotee next to her, not me, I'm not a great devotee, but having a great devotee next to her, chanting the holy names, and taking Tulsi water, and Tulsi leaves, and everything like that, and my mother got the supreme benediction. So if you're interested in hearing or seeing that class, it's on my YouTube channel. So you like my backdrop. This is actually the Sangam that you see behind me. Between Sangam means the place of joining. Sangha, that means association. Between Shyamakund and Radhakund. Pretty cool. And this is where Radha and Krishna meet. Of course, Krishna bathes primarily in the Radha Kund, which is right over here, and Radharani bathes primarily in Shamakund. There's many, many nice things in the background there. Maybe sometimes on this class we'll do a little slideshow. But right now, we're going to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, so, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, let's go on. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. So, I guess at the end of this class, if anyone has any questions about last night's class, we can actually take those after we do our reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as the topics that we cover today in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm sure some people have some questions about how a devotee is taken care of and how his family is taken care of and how Vaishnavas have so much compassion they're ready to save anyone in this material world, including me. Prabhupada came. Prabhupada saved me. So, let's continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi. So, Pitavarna Daritabe Koila Pravartana Prema Bhakti. Whoops. Dilak Loke Lana Bhakta Gana. In the age of Kali, Lord Krishna assumes a golden color and, accompanied by his personal devotees, introduces Hudi Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By this process, he delivers love for Krishna to the general populace. Now, I hope you can all guess who this refers to. Who is it referred to? That is Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is Gauranga, he's golden one. Gauranga means actually golden limbs. And he is engaged in Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And in Dinahini Yata Chilo Hridinam Udurilo. It doesn't matter to him who is fallen, who is elevated. He just gives them Krishna consciousness. He is Kripam Buddhir Yathwam Aham Prapadye Vairagya Vidya Dija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartha Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shriradari Kripam Buddhir Yathwam Aham Prapadye. That's a verse composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He says, I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is actually Radha and Krishna, taking the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is Kripam Bhuti, or he is an ocean of mercy to all the fallen souls. So, Tara Shakshi Jagai Madai. The example of that is Jagai Madai, which I'm not going to talk about right now. Dharma Bhavartana Kare Rajendranandana Premagaya Nache Loka Kare Sankirtan. Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, personally introduces the occupational duty of the age of Kali. He personally chants and dances in ecstatic love, and thus the entire world chants congregationally. And here's a verse from the Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangupanga Stra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Ijantihi Sumedha Saha. Very important verse. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Famous verse, of course, that's in reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, and Krishna Varnam, Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangashtra Parshadam. Let's go over this verse more with more detail. Krishna Tvisa with a luster, Akrishna. So he's not blackish, Saanga, but he comes with his associates, and also Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varnam, because that might mean the color of Krishna, but also could mean Varnayati, who always chants Krishna, or the category of Krishna. In other words, he's Krishna, Krishna Varnam, and he's Krishna Varnayati, which is chanting. And he comes with all of his weapons, Astra. But his weapons are his Upanga Parshanam, his confidential companions. And because his weapons are meant not for killing people, but for killing the demoniac mentality in people's hearts. And those who are Sumedasa, who have good brains. Sumedasa means good brains. Or as Prabhupada translates, intelligent persons. The opposite of that is Durmedasa. Or Gobar Vedasa. Means stool brains, cow manure brains. Of course, that's pretty pure. So, next verse. Aratine tina yuge janadite ye palataya kali yuga yuge krishna name se palapaya. In the other three yugas, Satyatraita and Dwarpa, people perform different types of spiritual activities. Whatever results they achieve in that way, they can achieve in Kali Yuga simply by chanting what? The Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's the whole point. We just got to get people to chant. That's the strategy for bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Just get them to chant. Don't worry about other things. You know, people get so worried about so many other things. You know, what are people doing? What are people smoking? Because sometimes they say, that was a smoking kirtan. Don't worry. Automatically, people get this higher taste. Raso varjam, raso pyasa, parandrisa nivartate. Automatically, people get this higher taste and everything else becomes tasteless in comparison to that higher spiritual ecstasy, higher spiritual taste. Kalera doshan te rajan asjeko vahad gunan guna kirtana deva krishna sha mukta sanga param bhajat. Another famous verse. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So what are the faults? That's also described in the Bhagavatam. The faults are like Manda Sumanda Matayo Madhabhagya Paratrita. People are stupid. I know that's not politically correct. People are less intelligent. Or that even that's not politically correct. People are challenged in their intellectual abilities. Sumanda, they're very unfortunate. Matthew, short-lived. All sorts of bad qualities. And of course, they argue with each other about anything. The stupid things they argue about. People are, you know, sexist and racist. You know, such a stupid thing. You know, we're not the bodies. So sometimes you even see immature Vaishnavas argue about the bodies. Even sometimes, let me turn up the volume because it needs more volume. Hold on a second, Ito.
Okay.
So sometimes you see immature Vaishnavas. Let me move the microphone closer. Don't want to turn it up too loud. Sometimes you see immature Vaishnavas. Hold on a second. Let me adjust this a little bit more finely. Audio settings. A little higher. Should be a little higher. All right. Sometimes you find, that's good. Sometimes you find even immature Vaishnavas arguing in a way that distinguishes between Vaishnavas because of their gender. I mean, that's ridiculous. To see a Vaishnava according to their body, or to see the deity according to the deity's material that the deity was made of, that means you have hellish intelligence. Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shujakena na ye krishna tattva veta se guru hai. If someone is intelligent or someone is not so intelligent, then kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shujakena na. Someone says the screen is frozen. I will check that. Doesn't look like it. Kiva vipra, kiva nyashi, shujakena. Well, hold on a second. Let me just check that. Make sure. No? Not frozen. That's just on her particular screen. So, kiva vipra, kiva nyashi, shujakena, naya, krishna, tattva veta, se guru hai. So, to see, getting back to the point, if someone sees a Vaishnava according to their body, whether it's a race, nationality, gender, that's material consciousness. Because if someone knows the science of Krishna, and Krishna illustrates this by taking various incarnations and various species of life. You know, if you see a turtle that knows the science of Krishna, Kurma, then that's your guru. Have you seen that too many turtles preaching Krishna consciousness? If you see a fish, matcha, who preaches pretty nicely, you can accept their instruction. It's just is wild to think that someone is their body. We're not concerned. You know, obviously, externally, there needs to be some different arrangement. You know, obviously, I do not wear a tutu. There needs to be some external arrangement, but really, as far as knowing the science of Krishna, you know, I mean, I accept Krishna consciousness from my computer. I watch Prabhupada on the computer. I read Prabhupada's books on the computer. Does that mean that I'm in Maya because computers can't be guru? Anyway, let's go ahead. Preaching to the choir. Here's another nice verse. Krite yad yato vishnum tatiyam yashato makahai dvapare pari charyam yam kalotadari kirtanat. Whatever result was obtained in such a yuga, by meditating on Vishnu and Treta Yuga, by performing sacrifices, we went over this before, in Dwarpa Yuga, by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can also be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's all you got to do. Everything will become revealed to you. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.52. At the present moment in Kali Yuga, there are many false meditators who concoct some imaginary form and try to meditate upon it. Meditate upon a candle. Meditate upon one hand clapping. Meditate upon your navel. Meditate upon the light. It has become fashionable to meditate. But people know nothing about the object of meditation. I mean, who wants to meditate on a candle? I did that before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. That is explained here, Yad Jayato Vishnu. One has to meditate upon Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna without referring to the Shastras. So-called meditators aim at impersonal objects. Lord Krishna has condemned them in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, text 5. Interesting. Klesha dikaturaste samavyakta saktacheta samavyakta higatir dukam dehabad bir advapyate. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Not knowing how to meditate, foolish people simply suffer, and there is no benefit derived from their spiritual activities, you know, so-called spiritual activities. The same idea expressed in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam can be found in the following verse from the Vishnu Purana 6.2.17, Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda 72.25, and Brihannaradiya Purana 38.97. Dhyayan krite yajanyadhyayas chitayam dvaparer chayan yadapnoti tadapnoti kalosankircha keshavam. Whatever is achieved by meditation in Satya Yuga, by the performance of Yajna in Treta Yuga, by the worship of Krishna's lotus feet in Dwarpa Yuga, is also obtained in the age of Kali, simply by chanting the glories of Lord Keshava. That's Sankirtan. Kalim sabhajayanchaya gunagyasarabhaganaha yatra sankirtanae naiva sarvasvarto bilavyate. Those who are advanced and highly qualified and are interested in the essence of life know the good qualities of Kali Yuga. Such people worship the age of Kali because in this age one can advance in spiritual knowledge and attain life's goal simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's all you got to do. Everything automatically happens. You become detached. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatiya Suvairagyam Yanam Chayada Haitukam. That one actually becomes detached automatically and gets knowledge automatically. Tesham Satana Yutanam Pashatam Pratiporvakam. Automatically, you just got to chant. You don't know what's. Everything is there in the Maha Mantra. Everything. Krishna, his energies, his expansions, Srimati Radharani, Bhakti, service. Everything is there. Purna. It is complete. Shuddha, it is pure. Nityamukto, it is liberated, eternally liberated. It's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.36, spoken by the great sage Karavajana Rishi, one of the nine Yogendras, Navi Yogendra. The sage was informing Maharaj Nimi about the people's duty to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to different processes in different yugas. So we're in Kali Yuga. If you haven't discovered that yet, you are living in a dream world. It's definitely Kali. How do you know it's Kali? Because people are quarreling for no reason whatsoever. I mean, even sometimes, I mentioned even Vaishnavas quarrel. Who can initiate based on their body? Who can be a Brahmin based on their body? You know, it's ridiculous. We know it's Kali because people fight for no reason whatsoever. You know, inconsequential, tiny little reasons they fight for, isn't it? I'm right. No, I'm right. Like little kids because they haven't grown up. It's like when I used to get in a fight with my brother. He said, he punched me first. No, he punched me first. So people are like that. They're just like a bunch of babies fighting philosophically. And other than Vaishnava philosophy, all these other types of philosophies are just so immature, inconsequential. Asupurvabat likiyabe gunabatara grana asankhya sankhya tanra nahai ganana. As stated before, when I describe the incarnations of the material modes, gunavatars, one should consider that those incarnations are unlimited and that no one can count them. Of course, like gunavatars means what? The gunas, the modes, ignorance, passion, goodness. And then here it's also referred to lila avatars, Krishna, and different manifestations of the Lord that come to just execute pastimes. So it's lila avatars, or you have, of course, Shaktavesha avatars, empowered incarnations, and you have yuga avatars. Anyway, so many avatars, like waves in the ocean. There are avatars in every species of life. So chari yugavatare ta ganana shuni bangi kari tanre puche sanatana. Let's see how bangi is translated. Bungi kari means giving a hint. I mean small, yeah. Thus I have given a description of the incarnation of the four different yugas. After hearing all this, Sanatana Goswami gave an indirect hint to the Lord. This is interesting. Raja Mantri Sanatana Bhujye Brahaspati Prabhura Kripadi Puche Asankocha Mati. Sanatana Goswami had been a minister under the Nawab Hussein Shah, and he was undoubtedly as intelligent as Brahaspati, the chief priest of the heavenly kingdom. Due to the Lord's unlimited mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned him without hesitation. Now here you're going to hear an interesting question. Akti kshudra jivamuni nicha nischa chara kemane janiva kalite kon avatara. Sanatana Goswami said, I'm a very insignificant living entity. I am low and poorly behaved. How can I understand who is the incarnation of this age of Kali? So he's leading up to the point that, hey, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the incarnation. Gotcha! It's a gotcha point. This verse is very important in reference to the incarnations of God. At present, there are especially many Waskals, prevalent in India, who proclaim themselves as incarnations of God or goddesses. Very interesting. Even there's people from the West. Anyway, so we were talking to someone who was reading a book where this guy said that he was an incarnation of Hanuman. Oh my God. Incarnation of Hanuman. Anyway, not going to criticize. Okay, Maharaj, stop. Okay, so incarnation of Hanuman. Also, he said, when Hanuman comes to Ram, he becomes Ram. Nonsense. C-R-A-P. Thus, they are fooling and bluffing foolish people. On the behalf of the general populace, Sanatana Goswami presented himself as foolish, low-born, poorly behaved person. Although he was a most exalted personality, inferior people cannot accept the real God, yet they are very eager to accept an imitation God who can simply bluff foolish people. All this is going on in this age of Kali. To guide these foolish people, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answers the question as follows. So, you know, who's the incarnation of God for this age? And he's asking the incarnation of God, who happens to be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting exchange here. Prabhu Kahe Anyavatara Shastra Dari Jani Kalite Avatara Taiche Shastra Vakye Mani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, as in other ages and incarnations accepted according to the directions of the Shastras, in this age of Kali, an incarnation of God should be accepted in that way. So Sanatana Goswami is trying to back Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into a corner. Philosophically, to get him to admit, oh yeah, you're right, I am the incarnation of God. Interesting. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the way an incarnation should be accepted. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chateti Kariyakya. One should accept a thing as genuine by studying the words of saintly people, the spiritual master, and the Shastra. The actual center is the Shastra, the revealed scriptures. If a spiritual master does not speak according to the revealed scripture, he is not to be accepted. Similarly, of course, that's when the spiritual master is speaking about Krishna consciousness. If the spiritual master is speaking about ordinary things, that's in the different categories. Then you reject the spiritual master because he gave you the wrong advice as far as investing in the stock market. Of course, he shouldn't give you advice insofar as investing in the stock market. But still, the spiritual master's expertise is in presenting the tattva of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, if a saintly person does not speak according to Shastra, he is not a saintly person. But he could speak certain things not according to Shastra. Let's just clarify this. Like he may say, you know, I like potatoes. Now, that's not according to Shastra, but it's when dealing with this world that there's a different standard of judgment of a saintly person. But when he's talking about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, if he gives some opinion, philosophical opinion, that opposes Shastra, then he's not to be accepted as a saintly person. The Shastra is the center for all. Actually, it's Shastra Guru, Shastra Sadhu. 3 points here that are checks and balances. There's the Shastra, the Guru, and the Sadhu. So the Shastra can be applied according to time, place, and circumstances without changing the essence. That's really important. Shastra can be Shastra can be presented and applied without changing the essence by the Guru and the Sadhu. Really important. For example, there are some Shastric injunctions that state that a brahmachari should wear deer skin. Not a very good idea in this day and age. Previously, perhaps it was nice. There's injunctions in the Shastras that a sannyasi should not wear clothes. Hare Krishna. Not very practical. So these Sadhu and the Guru have to be ascertained, which are time-bound instructions. Actually, we were talking about this today in our GBC conference in reference to this verse by Srinivasacharya, Nana Shastra Vichara Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako, that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were very expert and ascertaining the eternal religious principles. That means they employed something called, get ready for a big word, they employed something called hermeneutics. And so the Vedic or Sanskrit terminology for hermeneutics is Shastra Vichara. That's a big word for you. Nana Shastra Vichara Nayankanipano. Understanding or coming to the essence of Shastra using intelligent people and different standards of hermeneutics. That's right, it's not something new, but there are Sanskrit words for it. But we will use the English words so as not to confuse all you poor souls. So anyway, the Shastra is the center for all. Unfortunately, at the present moment, people do not refer to the Shastra, therefore they accept rascals as incarnations. I'm an incarnation. And consequently, they have made incarnations into a very cheap thing. Intelligent people who follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and the instructions of the Acharya, the bona fide spiritual master, will not accept a pretender as an incarnation of God. In Kali Yuga, the only incarnation is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Krishna Nama Avatar. The name of Krishna, is none different from Krishna. And that's an avatar in Kali Yuga. Let me just check something on the sound again. Yeah, we have the right microphone. That's the avatar in Kali Yuga. Oh, let's see. Let me just check something on this microphone. Okay. That's better, I think. No. I have to set the parameters on the microphone. I'm going to want to make sure we got enough volume. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya and the Nama Avatar. Imitation, incarnations, take advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord appeared within the past 500 years, played as the son of a Brahmana from Nadia, and introduced the Sankirtan movement, imitating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ignoring the Shastra. Rascals present themselves as incarnations and introduce their rascaldom as a religious process. As we have repeatedly said, religion can only be given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's right. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. From the discussions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand that in different ages, the Supreme Lord introduces different systems and different religious duties. Ultimately, actually, I just want to explain this. Even though there's different systems, the goal is always the same. It doesn't change. The goal is pure love of Krishna. But there's different methodologies. But the most direct methodology in any age is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. In this age of Kali, the only incarnation of Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he introduced the religious duty of Kali Yuga. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, next text. Sarvagya manira vakya shastra paramana amasava jivarahaya shastra dwara yana. The Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Foolish people try to concoct knowledge by manufacturing something in their brains. That is not the real way of knowledge. Knowledge is shabda, pramana, evidence from the Vedic literature. Srila Vyasadeva is called Mahamuni. He is also known as Vedavyasa because he has compiled so many shastras. He has divided the Vedas into four divisions, Sama, Rig, Yajur, and Atharva. He has expanded the Vedas into 18 Puranas and has summarized the Vedic knowledge in the Vedanta Sutra. He also compiled the Mahabharata, which is accepted as the fifth Veda. The Bhagavad Gita is contained within the Mahabharata. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is also Vedic literature, Smriti. Some of the Vedic literatures are called Shrutis, and some are called Smritis. Shruti means to hear, Smriti means to remember. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends in the Bhakti Arthamrita Sindhu Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Kapitnihim Vina Aikantaki Harayar Vaktir Adpata Yaiva Kalpate. Unless one refers to Shastra, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, and so on, one's spiritual activity simply disturbs society. There is no king or government to check people, and therefore society has fallen into a chaotic condition as far as spiritual understanding is concerned. Taking advantage of this chaotic condition, many rascals have appeared and proclaimed themselves incarnations of God. As a result, the entire population is indulging in sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Out of many sinful people, many so-called incarnations of God are emerging. This is a very regrettable situation, especially in India. Very powerful statement by His Divine Grace the Pope. Avatara nahi kahe ami avatara. Muni sabha jani kare lakshana vichara. An actual incarnation of God never says, I am God, or I am an incarnation of God. The great sage Vyasadeva, knowing all, has already recorded the characteristics of the avatars in the Shastras. In this verse, it is clearly stated that a real incarnation of God never claims to be a real incarnation. According to the symptoms described in the Shastra, one can understand who is an avatar and who is not. Symptoms, quality, not simply that someone is a self-declared incarnation. Yashavatara yitya yichante sarirish shvasha rirana taistara tulya tishayar viryar dehishvasangatahai. The Lord does not have a material body, yet he descends among human beings in his transcendental body as an incarnation. It is very difficult for us to understand who is an incarnation. Only by his extraordinary prowess and uncommon activities, which are impossible for living entities, embodied living entities, can one partially understand the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:10:34. So we are going to, and now we did 340 to 355 today. We're going to be finishing this chapter relatively soon. And so we're going to take some questions. As I mentioned before, if you want to ask about anything in relationship to last night's class or what happened with my mother when she passed away, where did she go? Where are you going at the time of death? Where I'm going, you feel free to ask those questions right now. I also have a right not to answer. You're always free to. Hold on a second. Okay, allow participants to unmute themselves. Okay, so who has a question? You can either raise your hand. Somehow the computer is really slow. I know I should have rebooted it. So you can raise your hand, you can unmute yourself, or you can, what else can you do? Type in the text window if you have any questions. So who has a question? Feel free. You can ask questions about last night's class. You can ask questions about almost anything within reason, as long as it's connected to Krishna consciousness. Let me just check here. Who wants to ask a question? What do you say? I have to page up here. Okay. Krishna has a question. You can unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hey, Krishna, great.
Krishna, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you. I was just wondering, when in the case of your mother, she has a special, benefit that you're her son. And then on top of that, she had chanting at the time of passing.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of my own grandmother. So, we put Tulsi on her and we were chanting for her. But can we ever know that someone has gone back to the spiritual world because they had Krishna's holy name at the time of their passing? Or is it possible that they go and take birth and they get association of devotees?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, it's based upon, in one sense, knowledge of who they were in this particular lifetime and whether they had any more desires to work out. If they had any more desires to work out, there's several things that could happen. One is that they go to the heavenly planets, and after some time in the heavenly planets, they take birth in a rich family, and this is what Krishna describes. Another thing that could happen is they take birth immediately in a Vaishnav family. But somehow or other, they become devotees in the next life. So in order to understand where they are, one actually has to see their life before they pass away. It's not simply, you know, at the time of death, you know, they're chanting Krishna's name, they're remembering Krishna, but what is their consciousness? Do they actually want to go back to Godhead? Or they still have some desires left in this world? And if they still have some desires left in this world, then most likely they will take birth amongst the devotees, either in the heavenly planets or in this planet, or take birth in a rich family and get the opportunity to be Krishna conscious in the next life. It's not necessarily true that they will all go back to Godhead. So in the case of my mother, it's not absolutely true. My own personal opinion, for whatever it's worth, my own personal opinion is that she's taken birth in a devotee. She's going to take birth, because birth takes a few months. She hasn't already taken birth. She's going to take birth in a devotee family in the Krishna consciousness movement. And, you know, if I stick around long enough, I'll probably see her as a little baby. So if there's a little baby who's born who calls me son, then I know it's my mother. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But that's my realization as far as she's concerned. Because, I mean, there's many indications. Not so much like that she was a great devotee or anything during this lifetime, but she was very attached to me personally. As I mentioned, Lord Kapiladev says in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the very same attachment which entangles one, that is attachment to certain individuals, that entangle one in this material world, that same attachment to a devotee, even though one may not be fully conscious that that person is a devotee, that same attachment to a devotee can actually liberate one. So, I'm not saying I'm a devotee, but anyway, I'm sort of acting as a devotee. And this particular lady, my mother, was very attached. And she was extremely attached. So that attachment will actually bring her to Krishna. Because she actually identified, and one of the things I didn't say last night is, she actually identified herself as a devotee at the end. One of my last conversations with her, where it was quite a humorous conversation. I was talking to her, and she said, "My son, I have something to reveal to you." And I said, What do you have to reveal? She said, "I'm a Hare Krishna." And I said, "I didn't know that." And I said, "I'm a Hare Krishna too." And she said, "I didn't know that you were Hare Krishna." Anyway, I mean, obviously there's things happening with the brain at the end that people forget things. You know, there's a senior moment, so to speak. So, but still, she was identifying herself as a Hare Krishna, in spite of, you know, obviously not following one particular regulated principle. She didn't have any boyfriends, that's for sure. So there's some special dispensation, but I do not think that she went back to God, if that's the question you're asking. I think that she took birth somehow or other in Prabhupada's movement, because she's attached to me, and I'm attached to Prabhupada, and I'm attached to Prabhupada's movement. So things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So, you know, expect to see her as a little baby somewhere. And whether I recognize her or not, I don't know. As I mentioned my mother actually had great faith and belief in God, but it really wasn't based on knowledge. It was based upon, you know, sentiment, but still she believed that there was a God. And that's actually quite unusual. Most so-called religious people don't believe that there's a God. In India, most people believe there's many gods, many controllers, but ultimately everything is one, especially the followers of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. So it actually is quite unusual to believe that there's a personal God who's looking out for you all the time, even if his only business is to find you parking spaces. At least there's a personal God. You know, that's interesting. Dear God, get me a parking space. I mean, I tell you, if I had like a connection to God, I wouldn't ask for a parking space. You know, that's like the story the Prabhupada told about the lady who was in the forest and she was collecting firewood and she dropped all the firewood on the ground. And she prayed to God and God appeared and she said to God, please put this firewood back on my head. So you got to really know what to ask God for. And what we like to ask God for, I mean myself, is just like eternal service at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And I mean, I don't ask God to go back to Godhead. I don't ask God for Krishna. I don't even know who God is, but I know God is Krishna. So Krishna prayed for a parking space once. That's pretty good. Yeah, but if you're in a city, I can understand these things. Where we're located, we got plenty of parking spaces. That's actually quite interesting. So, but at least we're praying to God. So, all right. So next is Nalini Kant. What would you like from God? God is taking orders now, so I can just record them and send them to God on your behalf. So good to see you. So what's the question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my respectful obeisances. Thank you very much for memorial service yesterday for Mother Marilyn, and I could realize that how it is important. Love is the crucial factor in any relationship. Hearing from Mother Tulsi, how she went and how she hugged her immediately, and she was chanting and the service she did, and she was inspiring to do some service for Mother Marilyn. I felt that I don't have any love for anyone in this world. So hopefully one day, if I take your instructions seriously, one day I develop some love. Gurudev, I wanted to ask, people who are not initiated in any bona fide sampradaya, but sometimes we come across stories where they live their life very, very simply, helping out others, chanting Lord's name, whatever they knew, like just Ram Naam or some other names, or other bona fide names of the Lord. But they haven't followed any particular process like chanting 16 rounds. In their lifetime, we see that they follow regulative principle, but except some people in India, they still eat some onion and garlic, but they are very pious in their activities and chanting holy name. And they actually have love for the Lord. Like we hear some kathas in Dham, like when we went to Pandharpur, we heard such stories. So Gurudev, Krishna reciprocates with them equally as a pure devotee?
Yes, Krishna reciprocates equally with them and they're chanting his holy name. However, they really need to take shelter and serve a pure devotee to make spiritual advancement. Whether that shelter means initiation or shelter means just taking shelter and serving a devotee. Like Krishna says, those who say that they're my devotees are not my devotees, but those who, in the Adi Purana, those who say that we're a devotee of my devotee, or devotees, they're my devotees. It's a very important instruction. So you really have to get to the point of serving a pure devotee.
Thank you.
Really certainly they're making spiritual advancement, chanting the holy name, doing the yoga dharma. Who can deny that? But is a question of reaching spiritual perfection, then the statement is it's essential to accept a pure devotee. And any sampradaya, I mean, we're not saying we have an exclusive right to pure devotional service. I mean, there's sampradayas.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah, thank you, Gurudev. Can I ask one more question, Gurudev,
yeah,
related to the class today? Gurudev, you mentioned in your class that how spiritual master can speak about other matters as well, as per time, place, circumstances. And when spiritual master is not talking about spiritual matters, he has expertise, so he can speak. So some devotees, they do comment that, especially around this anti-... and pro-... they were talking that spiritual...
Yeah, that's right. It's just, it's relative. It shouldn't be taken as absolute.
Absolutely. So they, some of them, they actually commented, I'm not talking about yourself, but other spiritual master, that, he's not supposed to speak about that ... because it is not spiritual matter. So should we consider that it is because of their fanaticism or immaturity, and it is actually not offense?
What is offense? The spiritual master can speak about other subject matters that are relative as long as he explains that this is his opinion.
Yes.
I mean, if you say the spiritual master can't speak about anything except for Shastra, it's crazy. It's crazy. What if you ask me, what is the best type of computer? What is your opinion? Do you like Apple computers, or do you like PCs, or do you like Lenovo's, or do you like, I'm using a Lenovo, or Dell? I'm not allowed to speak about those things because I'm only allowed to speak about Shastra.
Yeah.
You know, then you get into the realm of stupidity. As long as people know that when I speak about things other than Shastra, that's relative. It's not absolute. You don't have to accept what I say absolutely. But I'm allowed to speak about things like that. I mean, you're just like putting rules on a guru. He's not allowed to speak about anything other than Shastra. Of course, you're speaking about vaccinations right now. But anyway, so, you know, you can give opinion, but it's not absolute. Why? I mean, like if I say, there's a certain type of food I like. I really like bagels. You know, I don't know if you know what a bagel is, but anyway.
I searched on internet the other day when you mentioned it.
Because you're in Maya, you don't know what a bagel is. Right? Because you haven't really realized the absolute truth yet. So if I say I really like that, so you're not allowed to speak about that, Guru Maharaj. You know, if I speak about global warming, which is actually, you know, which is probably true, but it's not an absolute platform, am I not allowed to speak about global warming? You know, come on. I mean, then you really just limit me. I just, like, I'll go crazy if I can't speak about anything other than Krishna.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yes. But Gurudev,
it's crazy. How can you do that to someone? I mean, how can you say to someone you're not allowed to speak about anything else other than Shastra?
Yes.
I mean, it's just like you're a doctor. Okay, you're not allowed to speak about anything else other than medical stuff. You can't speak about Krishna because you haven't studied the Shastras enough. So you can't speak about Krishna. You can't speak about New Zealand politics, or whatever you like to speak about. There. Anyway, it's all such a stupid thing. Actually, people should know that I have a right to speak about relative things. The Prabhupada spoke about relative things.
Yeah.
You know, Prabhupada said, you know, World War III is coming soon. It didn't come. You know, so you have to be able to understand that there's certain times when the spiritual master speaks about relative things. And it's not a question, it doesn't bring into question his spiritual stature to speak about relative things. I think that's a very interesting point. Also, one other thing I wanted to mention to you, Nidalini Kant, is that I talked about the importance of mothers, so you should respect very much your wife, who is a mother.
Yes,
and yes, your wife isn't your mother, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You should respect very much your wife, and you know, she's actually giving your daughter the, you know, good qualities. I'm not saying you're not giving your daughter good qualities, but the mothers in particular are very important. So one other question.
Thank you.
Gopal had a quick question. Let's be quick. Oh, yeah, the question here.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay,
may
here's
I speak?
The question. Quick.
So you were speaking earlier about desires, that if one has desires before they pass away, then they have to take birth to fulfill those desires. But we see so many times that desires in a particular lifetime are circumstantial. They have to do with the circumstance that the person happens to be in.
Yeah.
Like they're born in a city, so they desire a good parking space or, you know, something like that. So is there different tiers of desires that,
yes,
you know,
I mean,
when you give up the body?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, having a parking space is not a deep desire of the heart. Some wouldn't worry about that.
So okay. how can you root out the deepest desires in your heart if, you know, due to circumstance, they may not really become manifest?
Just worry about pleasing Krishna and everything else is taken care of automatically.
Mm.
Okay,
thank you.
Two other questions. It's people typed. Didn't Krishna say he was God in chapter 10? Yep. So Krishna can break his own rules. He can declare himself to be God. That's interesting. Interesting. It appears to be a contradiction. It is a contradiction, but Krishna can do it. Krishna can contradict himself if he likes. But if he shows the qualities of God, they're all right. It's all right for him to do that. That actually is actually quite an interesting question you asked. Thank you for catching that. Okay, I got to end now. It's time to see. I know I didn't answer all the questions, so tomorrow we'll have time for more questions. All glorious to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. Wait a second. Got to end. And meeting for all. Oh.